There is there's a type of medrash called a medrash pliya. A medrash pliya is a medrash where the two parts of the medrash, the two parts of the statement that we are quoting from Chazal, don't seem to fit with each other. We have two parts, A and B, and A and B are incongruent. They don't fit, they don't make any sense, and it's unclear what the first part of the statement has to do with the second part. This is what we call often a medrash pliya, a bewildering, a strange, and odd medrash. And there is such a medrash pliya, and the source of it is unclear, but many of the achronim quote such a medrash in relationship to Hanukkah. And it's based on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim in Perek Zayin. The pasuk says, Hadudaim Nosnu Reach. The Dudaim, the flowers, this certain type of flower, they give off a pleasant smell. Ve'al pisachinu kol megadim, chadashim gam yishanim, dodi tzafanti lach. They're by the entrance, and there's all types of delightful things, the new and the old, my beloved, they are hidden for you. This is the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Now the Medrash Pliya says as follows, Hadudaim nosnu reach. The first part of the pasuk, that the Dudaim, they give off a pleasant aroma, Ze Dudaim shel Ruvain. These are the famous Dudaim. This was in the Parsha. Exactly. So this is the Dudaim. These are the flowers of Ruvain that he gave to his mother. Ve'al peschenu kol megadim ze ner Chanukah. That we put something by the Pesach. There's something beautiful by the entrance of the home. That is the light of Chanukah. Chadashim gam yishanim dodi tzafanti lach ze Torah shebichsav shebal peh. This idea, the new and the old, is the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebichsav, the old, that which came down from Har Sinai, and the Torah Shebal Peh, the developing and the continuing learning of Torah that comes through the oral tradition. This is the reference of the Gam Yishanim as well in the Pasuk. And this certainly is a Medrash Pliya. What is the connection between Ruvain and the Dudayim, and giving the mother the flower to his mother who wanted to have more children, and the lights of Chanukah? This is the definition of a Medrash Pliya. Two parts, A and B, incongruous, they have nothing to do with one another. And the question is, what do parts A and B, the Reisha and the Sefer, the beginning and the end of the Medrash, have to do with one another? So let's begin as follows. In Parshas Vayetze, the Torah tells us that Yisachar was born because of the Dudaim Ruvain. If you follow the order of what happens, Leah gives birth to her first four children, and then she stops, and then Ruvain comes with the flowers, and he wants to give it to his mother, Leah, and instead, Rachel turns to Leah and says, I'd really like to have those flowers instead, because I would like to have a child with Yaakov, and Leah gives them to her, and in return, so to speak, the reward of having given up these flowers to her sister are the children Yisachar, followed by Zebulun. This is what the Torah tells us. Rashi explains that it was the turn of Rachel to spend time, and they were giving up this turn with Yaakov, so she gave Rachel Dudayim, and the Gemara Nida says, and Daf Lamed Aleph, you don't have it here on the sheets, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu played a special role in the Hashgach of that event, so Yisachar could come from Yaakov and Leah. Or more than by any other of the Shvatim, the Gemara goes out of its way to say that Hashem played a special role in the birth and the conception of Yisachar. Why? Why did Yisachar have such a special coming into this world as opposed to the rest of his brothers? Isn't every conception something that's special and wonderful? And obviously there's Hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know the Gemara in Kedushin says that every person has a partner, the mother, the father, and Hashem. So why was Hashem more present in this birth and this conception from Yisachar more than anyone else? We know that Yisachar is the Shevet, the tribe that is most connected to Talmud Torah. Yisachar are the great teachers of Torah, traveling all over Eretz Yisrael. We have the famous concept of Yisachar Zvulun partnership, right? Someone will sit and learn, and Zvulun, the person who's making the money, will support them. And this is the idea. The idea of Yisachar representing the Torah, the Sanhedrin, and all the wonderful things. If you look in the bracha of Yaakov that he gave to Yisachar, the end of Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov's bracha goes on and on and on, talking about how Yisachar has such a special role, and he's going to teach Torah, and what amazing things Yisachar is going to accomplish. It goes on and on about the Torah of Yisachar. Also, there's a Medrash Rabbah on this pasuk, Vayishma Elohim es Leah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu heard Leah right before, right after the exchange of the Dudayim and the conception of Yisachar. Vatomer Eli Tavo. And then Leah turns to Yaakov and says, "Right, tonight we're going to we're gonna switch the tents tonight, as opposed to being with Rachel." Amar Rav Levi, Ba'ure Ma'yafa Haisa Sarsusan Shaldudayim Lifnei Mish Amar Vayalam. How beautiful was this event of the Dudayim, of the flowers given from Leah to Rachel in the eyes of a Kaddish Baruch who created the world? Sha'yidei ha-Dudayim amdu shnei shvatim gedolim b'Yisrael. Shvatim gedolim. The greatest of the shvatim, Yisachar and Zvulun, came from this exchange. Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar yoshev osik b'Torah. Yisachar sits and he learns Torah. Uzvulun yotzei b'yamim uvav anosin l'soch pivsha Yisachar. And Zvulun comes and supports his brother, Yisachar. V'hatorah rabba b'Yisrael. And it causes Torah to be great in Yisrael. And then the Medrash quotes our pasuk. V'hadudaim nasnu reyach. From these dudaim, from these flowers, great aromas, great spirituality comes from Yisachar and Zvulun and goes out into the world. Something is unique, something is special coming from this union and the exchange of the Dudayim from Reuven. Why did the creation of these two Shvatim sustain the Torah come about through the use of Dudayim? Why are we so obsessed with these Dudayim? People read the Pshat and they don't understand what the point of the Dudayim are. The flowers, you smell them, you cook them. The Dudayim are this very confusing area within the many, many Parshios of the Avos. I'm going to quote now an answer, a mahalach, from a Reuven Katz. Reuven Katz was the Rav of Petach Tikva in Eretz Yisrael, and he, for us, is the grandfather of Mrs. Essie Meyer, who we have the pleasure of davening with in the warmer months of the year, not in the colder months of the year. So she gave me, as a present, she gave me the volumes of her grandfather's work, the Dudai Reuven, and she gave to me on condition that I would spread his Torah and I would teach something from it. So I didn't even have to go past the introduction, because in the introduction of a Reuven Katz, the Dudai Reuven, his Perush on the Torah, he asks our question, he discusses this Medrash Pliya. So we'll begin tonight quoting from Harav Hagon Reuven Katz Zecher Tzadik Livracha and see his beautiful mahalach, his beautiful approach as it comes to the Dudai Reuven and Chanukah. And he explains as follows. He says that this is the cornerstone and the foundation of Avodas Hashem. He says this is not some medrash that we sweep to the back of interesting ideas that, oh, I heard such a medrash once before. He says this medrash should be foremost and frontal in our minds at all times. This is a key medrash, he says, in Avodas Hashem. And he explains that when it comes to community and when it comes to education and supporting others, the Dudai Reuven and the Ner Chanukah go hand in hand. A person should not say, says Reuven Katz, that everything is min Hashemayim, and Hashem promised us so many wonderful things in the Torah, lo tishkach mipizaro, the Torah will never be forgotten, or beyosim ba'aret oivehim lo ma'astim, if you're in the land of other nations, you're not going to be disgusted. Or Hashem says, I'm always going to take care of you. Says Reuven Katz, our job is not to rely on the promises of Hashem. When we see that there is an institution, when we see that Torah needs our help, when we see that our children need our help in chinuch, it is not simply enough to say, Hashem will help. We need to go and be active. We need to stand up and support Torah institutions. We need to stand up and support Torah. We need to stand up and support our families in Limud HaTorah. You cannot sit back and say, ah, I have bitachon, Hashem is going to take care of everything. You need to get up, you need to do something to support the Torah of your families and others. And this is the case when it comes to the klal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, ve'atem b'nei Yaakov lo kalisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to wipe you out ever. And people think that we don't need hishtadlus or the efforts of man. Rather, we should rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In response to this, the Torah tells us about the Dudai Reuven. Tells us about these magical flowers of Reuven. These were the catalysts that produced Yisachar and Zvulun. And this is what led to Torah growth in Klal Yisrael. Comes Reuven with his Dudayim and gives them to his mother. And that active participation in trying to build Klal Yisrael is what sends Yisachar and Zvulun on their path. He got down and he said, I need to do something, what's going on. I need to do something about the world. I need to increase Torah in the world. I need to make the world a better place. And therefore the Dudai Reuven represent going and doing something. When you get up and you help someone out, and you help a Mosad, and you help a Torah institution, or you help someone in their own Ruchnias, so that is a representation of the Dudai Reuven. Someone who gets up and says, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to take these flowers and I'm going to change something and we're going to make it better. And from there, the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself prays this. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu heard what Leah did. He was so impressed that Leah went and switched the Dudayim that he went and gave her a fifth child. This is to show Klal Yisrael that when it comes to matters of the tzibur, to the community, even if we have all the promises from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that he's not going to leave us, nevertheless, we always take efforts that are necessary to go and support the tzibur. That is the Dudai Ruvain. These flowers of Ruvain represent that Leah went and she said, I want more children. I want to support Torah. I want children who are going to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. And she actively went and did something about it. She went and she switched the flowers. She did something active in order to support the growth of Torah. He says, we always need Dudayim to wake up the Jewish people, to mechazik the Torah and Yadus. And this is what it means when it says, uveirachach Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher ta'aseh. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless you only when b'chol asher ta'aseh, when you get up and do something about it. It doesn't say b'racha Hashem Elokecha, end of pasuk. Uveiracha Hashem Elokecha, Hashem will bless you b'chol asher ta'aseh, when you get up and do something and you want to make the world a better place and you want to make your families better and you want to make the institutions you're involved in better, so then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will bless you. Now, the Medrash and Chazal praise the Dudai Ruvain. They want us to understand that we should always push and strive to uphold the Jewish people to be mechazik the Torah, not sit on our hands, folded, and saying we trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, uveracha b'chol asher ta'aseh, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless us when we go and do something. And then, says Ruvain Katz, this is part two of the Medrash Pliya. What's the part two? The next part of the Al Pesheinu Kol Megadim, by our doorsteps we put the menorah. Because what does the menorah represent? The Chashmonaim are sitting there in their caves wondering what's going to be with the Torah. The Yavanim are making life miserable for us and we can't do any mitzvos and no one's learning and everyone is taking on Greek philosophy and going to the gym and all these things that were going on in Eretz all that time. And come the Chashmonaim and say, we can zug Tehillim all day. But you know what? We need to get up and do something about it. We need to put on our swords, we need to go and fight, and we need to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're willing to put ourselves out there, because only after we put ourselves out there and do something about it, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu then come and support us. And this is the idea, to make sure that Torah was not forgotten from Klal Yisrael. They fought, and Hashem helped them in their numbers. They were able to purify the Mikdash, and when they got to the Beis HaMikdash, what did they say? Did they say, we did enough, Dayenu, I'm tired, I'm going to go home, retire, that's all we need. No, they went and they found the Pach HaShemen, and they went and they waited, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what, they're putting in even more effort, more miracles. I'm going to help them out again. 8 days, the candles are going to burn, and the clients are going to have a miracle to remember for all time. And this is the same message of the Dudai Ruvain. The fact that the Chashmonaim did not sit back and say, whatever, Hashem will take care of it. I hope for the best that I hope Torah manages to stay alive, even though it doesn't look so good. The same thing. Leah comes and says, we need to have more Torah in Klal Yisrael. I'm going to put effort in. I'm going to have a Yisachar. Comes to the Chashmonaim and say, we need to have Torah in Klal Yisrael. We're going to go and we're going to fight. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. Hadudayim nafsnereach, ze dudayim shel Ruvain, ve'al pescheinu kol megadim ze ner Chanukah. The Dudai Ruvain show us that the creation of the Shvatim, the Shivtei Ka, need the physical process of the Dudai. Need to go and do something actively in order to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael. Uveirachacha b'chol asher ta'aseh. When you go up and do something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us. And this, says Ruvain Katz, is the message here. And what's the end of the pasuk? Chadashim gam yishanim dodi tzafanti lach. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. After you do all of this, after you take upon yourself the midah of the Dudayim of Ruvain, and you take upon yourself the midah of the Chashonayim, when you see there needs to be chizik in Torah, and to support other people who need strengthening in their Torah, then you'll be blessed with Chadashim and Gam Yishan. You'll be blessed with Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebichsav, and there'll be Torah in your homes, in your schools, in your shuls. But only after you take upon yourself the message of the Dudayim and the Chashonayim as well. The B'nai Yisoscha writes in the Maimari, and Kislev and Chelek Dalid, that it was the Sanhedrin that was led by Yisachar, as we said before. And the time of Chanukah was established, the holiday of Chanukah, right? It says in Ma'osur, B'nei Vina, Yimei Shmona, Kavushur Nanim. Who are B'nei Vina? Who are the men of understanding? The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin got up, and they established Chanukah the next year. Men of insight, B'nei Bina, referred to Yisachar, the scholars from Yisachar. And therefore, listen to what the B'nei Yisachar says, that Yisachar himself, who was head of the tribes, knowing Yisachar was born, Chafei Kislev. Yisachar, the person who came from the Dudai Ruvain, was born on the 25th of Kislev. So we see the Dudaim of Ruvain and the flowers that brought about Yisachar into this world to uphold the Torah comes together on Chanukah on the 25th of Kislev. And therefore the whole message is the same thing. Yisachar and Torah and the Dudaim all coming from the fact of people getting up and trying to make a difference and trying to help out and to promote Torah wherever possible. And we live in a generation where, if not in our shtetl of where we live right now, but in other places, there are people who are eroding the message of the Torah and saying that certain things are not part of our Masorah, and things are, you know, we can peel away at mitzvahs over here and not be so careful in this mitzvah over here. And the response to that is the Judaim of Ruvain and the Chashmonaim to get up and say, no, we're going to be mechazik the Torah, more learning, greater insights, and more inspiration to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Sifri, on the pasuk we said before, if a rachach Hashem lokecha b'chol asher ta'aseh, asks why the Torah should say b'chol asher ta'aseh. Listen to the Sifri. The Sifri says, uvei rachach Hashem lokecha yachol afilu omidu batal. I think a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless me when I sit around and do nothing. Talmud lomar b'chol asher ta'aseh. Your nothing's going to happen if you sit around and do nothing. You can sit there and you can daven all day. But if you don't go and say that I'm going to have and I'm going to work and I'm going to help other people out to spread Torah in my own families and my own institutions, so nothing is going to come of it. This reminded me of a beautiful vort from Ravitzel Volozhin, the son of Rechaim Volozhin, the Avi HaYeshivos, the founder of the Yeshivos. So Ravitzel was the second Rosh Yeshiva after his father passed away. So he quotes a Gemara in Sota, a famous Gemara in the end of Masechah Sota. The end of Masechah Sota gets very into Mashiach and talks about what's going to be in the Mos of Mashiach. So listen to this Gemara. Said the Gemara, Rav Pinchas ben Yair Omer, Rav Pinchas ben Yair says, Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Boshu Chaverim Uvnei Chorin, V'chafu Rosham, what people of deeds were lowered, and the forceful people, and the people who told Sheker, overpowered them. V'nadal Dulan Shei Maisa V'gavru Bale Zro, Bale Losham. V'ein Dore Shei Mevakesh V'ein Shoel Ami Lanu L'Shenu L'Avinu Shemashemayim. We have no one to rely on, no one to request mercy, except for our Father in Heaven. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer, Meyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash Sharu Chachmeha L'mahavi Kaspare V'safri K'chazina V'chazne Ka'ama. What happened was, is that the Chachamim were lowered, and they became like teachers of little children. And the teachers of little children, they became lowered, and they became like the gabbais and the shuls. And then they became lowered, the gabbais and the shuls, they became like the commoners, da'ara va'ama da'ara, the regular people of the land. Va'azla v'daldala, and everyone kept on getting lower and lower and lower. After the Churban Habayis, all the great people were lowered and lowered and lowered in people's eyes. And then the Gemara says again, for the second time, vein shoel, vein mevake, shami yesh li sha'ein, alavinu shabash shemayim. We have no one to rely on. Okay, we'll rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will save us in the end of days. And then the Gemara says for a third time, Be'ikvos Mashiach chutz be'yazke. This is a famous Gemara, right? When days of Mashiach, right before Mashiach comes, there's going to be chutzpah everywhere. No one's going to respect anyone. People are going to say terrible things in public. There won't be any sense of busha. Chutzpah everywhere before the days of Mashiach. Ve'alma yesh lanu l'sha'ein alavinu shabash shemayim. Who do we have to rely on? Our Father in Heaven. Three times, the Gemara says, who do you have to rely on? Our Father in Heaven. Ask Rav Itzala of Volozhin. I get the point. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us. Why three times do we have to say things are going to be so bad that we're going to have to rely on the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is the only person who's going to help us out. So says Rav Itzala, we understand the Gemara the wrong way. He says, we've got it all wrong. The Gemara is not making a statement that we have to have bitachon and therefore Hashem is going to save us at the end of the day. The Gemara is telling us that this is part of the klala. This is part of the curse in the days before Mashiach comes. The curse is going to be that when people are in need, and there are institutions who need our help, and there are family members and Jews, and there's Torah crying out, what's going to be with me? What do we say? Hashem Yirachem. It's Beshert, Hashem is going to help you out. I can't help you out, but Hashem will help you out. I'm very busy. I can't go right now. But Hashem Yirachem, Hashem is going to take care of you. I'll give you all the brachas, the brach of Hatzlacha, that I hope that everything turns out okay. And says Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, know what that is? That's a klala. That's a generation where everyone says, I'm sorry, I can't help. I can't, I'm very busy, I'm not able to, I'm too tired, it's too late, I don't have time. And they say, but in Mirz Hashem, everything should be good. I hope everything turns out okay. Hashem Yirachem, everything is going to be good for you. And that's the klala. To live in a generation where everyone says everything is bad, but okay, rely on the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hashem will take care of it. A generation where no one wants to do anything, and no one wants to help, and no one wants to step in and to step up and to make things better around them. And therefore, it's not a statement of our bitachon, says Rav Yitzchak. It's a statement of the curse of that generation of people who don't want to do anything and people who say, "No, Hashem will take care of everything." And that is a sign of the lowliness of that generation. This is what we learn from the Dudai Ruvain. This is what we learn from Hanukkah. And this is what we learn from the Imos HaMashiach. That a generation that says, I can't, I'm too busy, Hashem will take care of it, I'm not able to, that's a generation where we have major issues. They ask the Baal Shem Tov the following question. The Gemara Nechulin, a famous Gemara on Kuf Tes Amar Aleph. Amrle Yalsa. Yalsa. Yalsa was one of the wives of the Amorayim. So, the Rav Nachman. She said to Rav Nachman, there is no pleasure, there is no experience in the world that a Kaddish Baruch Hu has denied us. Everything that you see in the magazines, on TV, every good food that you walk by a treif restaurant and say, oh, that looks delicious, that taste and that experience and that pleasure, there is a kosher version of that somewhere in the world. There's no such thing as a pleasure in this world that we cannot partake of. There's a mutter way to experience everything. Then he says, "Sharlan kavase asalan damar sharla kavda nida dam tahor v'chalav behema chalav chaya." This type of fat is usher to eat. This type of fat is mutter to eat. Chazer mocha d'shibuta. The famous example of pig. Where can you taste pig? So there's some type of fish called a shibuta that swims around in some ocean somewhere, and the brain of this fish tastes like chazer. Okay, now we have kosher bacon bits. But in that time, so they had the head of the shibuta. You had a chance, the opportunity, to taste what chazer tasted like. Such a thing in the world existed. There's no such thing as something that's usher, forbidden for Klal Yisrael, that a Jew can say, you know, I'll never know what that's like. I'll never experience that type of endeavor, that type of feeling, because Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, pasnish for us to do. So he went to the Baal Shem Tov and said, Baal Shem Tov, we have Akasha. I can think of something that's usher, that there's no much a way to do it. Baal Shem Tov said, okay, try me out. What is it? So they told the Baal Shem Tov, what about heresy? What about heretical thoughts? Say there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's against the Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm Hashem your God. Where is there a mutter way that a person can say there's no God? Where is that? Okay, pig, I understand. You got me, pig. There's the head of the shibuta. But where is there kfira? Where can a person engage in kfira and deny Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's mutter? There's no such thing. So Baal Shem Tov closed his eyes, and he thought for a moment, and he said, oh, the answer is obvious. The answer is obvious, he said. He said, if someone is in need of tzedakah, and food comes in the middle of the winter, and he comes in the middle of the winter and he says, I haven't had a meal in 3 days, and the children at home are cold, and they're hungry. Says the Baal Shem Tov, at that moment, it's your job to be an apikoros. Why? Because at that moment, many people would say, Hashem should bless you, Hashem will take care of you, everything will be okay. I'm unable to, I'm very sorry, have a good night. He says, when someone comes to you and they need you, and an institution comes to you and says, we need your help, or someone comes to you and says, I need tzedakah, your job is to say, there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm the only person in the world who can help you. Says the Baal Shem Tov, that's a place where you can engage in apikorsis. To say that no one else is helping out this individual, no one else is helping out the shul, no one else is helping out the school, except me. I'm the only person, because right now, as far as I'm concerned, there's no Borei Olam. Because when you say that, it puts you on the pedestal, on the stand, and you need to step up and take care of the person in that case. And therefore, says the Baal Shem Tov, I found you a place where it's mutter to be an apikores. To say, when it comes to helping other people out, there's no Borei Olam, and instead, I need to be the one and to help this person out. We're not saying, chas v'shalom, that bitachon isn't important. But bitachon is for you. Bitachon is for you to work on for yourself. Not for other people. It's not our job to go around and say, you should have bitachon, and you should have bitachon, and you should have bitachon, and I'm okay. No. If someone is in need, it's not our role to put our bitachon on them. If someone is in need, our job is to go and help them out. This means advocating for communities, supporting Torah institutions, in any way you can. If it can't be with stukas, or Moshe writes in the tshuva, that there's meiser on time. You give of your time to help as well. To advocate for our children in school. The Briscoe Rav said that it was tehillim and tears that made his children turn out the way they did. But even if there's tehillim and tears, sometimes you need to go to the Rebbe and go to the Mora and say, you know, it needs to be this way. And you need to go to the teacher and advocate on behalf of your child. And you need to go to the school and say, this is what's best for my kid. Sometimes you need to step up and say that, you know, not always that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to take care of it. And that means opening up our homes for Shirim and Torah and Hachnasas Orchim. If someone needs a meal for Shabbos, or there's someone new in the community who needs a place to go, it can't always be that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to help them out and make sure that they're going to find a place to go. Sometimes we need to make sure they have a place to go, and we need to make sure that they have a place to go for Shabbos and to introduce them to other people around them. Often we say, Imir Tashem, I'll donate to this cause, right? Imir Tashem, I'm going to go to the shiur next time. This week I can't go, but Imir Tashem, next time I'm going to go. Imir Tashem, I'll have this family over for a meal on Shabbos, just not right now. You know what the answer to that is? Rotza Hashem. Not Imir Tashem, we know what a Kaddish Baruch wants. Rotza Hashem. Hashem wants you to do Torah Mitzvos. Imir to you. Do you want to go and do it? Do you want to have this family over? Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to donate? We know what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. Don't tell a Kaddish Baruch Hu what he wants. He already told us in the Torah. He wants to do chesed and mitzvos. Well, yirtza you. What do we want to do when it comes to helping other people out? I just want to bring it back to Chanukah again. When it comes to Chanukah, so there's a halacha brought down in the Gemara in Shabbos. It's a very short halacha. Kavsa ein zakakla. The halacha is that if the flame goes out after we lit the menorah, not to our being negligent, but just happened, something happened, a fluke, that we light the menorah, then it goes out. So you are not chayev in any way to relight the menorah. If you'd like to light the menorah, by all means, go ahead. But once you light the menorah, so kavsa ein zakakla, you're not required to go back and light it. You did your job, and that is sufficient. So this is very strange, because the whole point of Chanukah and the menorah is to have a lit menorah. It's not to try to have a lit menorah. It's how, where's the pirsum in Isa if you lit the menorah and no one can see it? What did you accomplish? So comes the Shem Yishmuel in the Drashas on Chanukah, in Tachrei Shain Aleph, and he says that when the Chashmonaim realized that they had no choice other than to confront the Greeks, they attempted the impossible. They went and they tried. That's all that we require. And when they got to the Beis HaMikdash and there wasn't enough oil, they went and they tried. They didn't expect any miracles. They went and they tried. Rachmana liba vai. Hashem wants our hearts. Hashem wants us to try. And therefore, if we get up and we try, and we go and we do, so kavsa ein zakakla. If you go and you try to light the menorah, and you understand that the spirit is to go and to do your best and to help, and to say, as long as I extend myself out there, and I do what I'm supposed to do, and I invite that person, and I support that mosa to the best of my ability, and I go to the shir, and I spread Torah in my family the best that I can, so kavsa ein zakakla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you did it. All I ask is for you to put yourself out there and to push and to try a little bit more than before. A little bit higher, a little bit stronger, a little bit sharper than you did it the first time. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, yes, if you light the menorah and it goes out, kavsa ein zakakla. You don't have to relight the menorah. Because that's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. That is the pirsum and is of Chanukah. To go and to try and to do and to help wherever you can and not to sit back and say, Mirza Hashem, it's beshert, it'll be what it'll be. But rather, like the Dudaim of Ruvain and like the Chashmonaim and like Ravitzela said, to go and say that, you know, we live in a generation where not everything is always going to rely on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and sometimes we need to do for ourselves. And to say sometimes, like the Baal Shem Tov says, that it's mutter to be an apikores when no one else is standing up and things that need to get done. And this is the message of Reuven Katz, the Dudaim of Reuven, and we should be zocha to have a Chanukah where we go and we do and we light and we grow and we push and we go out and we accomplish and we push others and we inspire and we give of our time and of ourselves to others, and to make the world a place where no one has to go and say that, you know, I don't know where to turn to, no one's taking care of me. But people should know they always have a place to go, and people are always looking out for them to support them in any way necessary.